to chapter number 16. We'll look at the Word of God here tonight. In chapter 10 and also chapter number 16 of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and chapter number 16. This passage of Scripture here, well, several places we'll read, a couple places anyway. And I want you to look just right here at verse number 12 of chapter number 10. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And then I want you to go with me to chapter 16 and verse number 13. Chapter 16 and verse number 13. There's a mouthful that Paul says here. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for these thy people that have come to hear your word. God, I pray tonight you would help us. I pray, Lord, as we were sung at the beginning of the service to take us to higher ground, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd do something in our hearts that, Lord, it would not just be another service. It would not just be another message. It would not just be another time at church. But, Lord, we'd leave different than we came. I pray tonight you would help us. I pray, Lord, you'd do a great work in this place. Our Holy Spirit of God, thou art invited. We ask you to roam up and down these aisles. And, Lord, convict sinners of sin. And, Lord, we ask you that you'd convict saints of sin that we may all draw closer to thee. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you may know a fellow by the name of Bobby Robertson. And of course, a great preacher and pastor there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And Lord willing, I'll be with him in a few weeks, going down to a bus conference there. But he and his son, of course, he has a son by the name of Steve Robertson. But Steve was talking one time some years ago. This was several years ago. He was talking, and I was there, and he was talking about his dad. And he used to be on staff. He was the teen director there for his dad for many years, up till he was at least in his 40s, probably mid-40s, maybe in his mid-40s he was. He was a teen director up for a long time. And he talked about going to meetings and going to places with his dad and how his dad would, he said he felt like he was still an eight-year-old kid when he was with his dad and going to meetings. His dad, they'd get up in the morning at the motel and he said, you know, he felt like, man, daddy still telling him things he taught him when he was 8 years old and 9 years old, and he's still telling him these same things. And he thought, daddy, yeah, I know I'm supposed to brush my teeth. I know I got to use soap in the shower. Daddy, I know I'm supposed to change my underwear every day and all these things. And he said, man, I just felt like I was 8, 9 years old again. And daddy telling me all these things that he had told me all throughout the years. You know, the tragic truth tonight, even though his daddy had told him all those things, without going into a lot of details, he got some things wrong later in his life. I'd like to bring a message tonight on this simple thought, repetitive but preventative. I like to preach on at least that title at least once a year because there are so many things that we need to be reminded of. Repetitive but preventative. Most of us have heard the phrase, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. All the old timers used to say that. As redundant as it is, there is some good that can come from being somewhat repetitive. Breathing's repetitive, by the way, amen. I'm glad I don't just breathe one time in and out, but I breathe again and again. Some good things are repetitive. Don't come to place we think we know everything and we've heard it, so we don't need to hear it again. And there's some good things that can come about being repetitive. We say all the time, practice makes perfect. And certainly it does. We're praying for higher ground, as we said already earlier. In marketing, it's said that the average person will see an advertisement about something 7 times before they ever act on it. They'll either see it or they'll hear it, or some way they'll come into contact with it 7 times before they do anything about it. I heard a preacher one time preached an entire revival, and I think it was a couple-week revival on one verse. Just one verse. It's like, wasn't there anything else to go to? Yeah, but they never got that one verse. The fact of the matter is tonight, and the truth of the matter is tonight, is that the Christian life is not complicated. The Christian life is not complicated. It's not hard to understand. But the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. While we may know it, we may understand it, don't mean we always do it, right? And so I want you to understand tonight, the problem's not in our understanding. The problem's not in the fact that we don't know what to do. The problem's not in the fact we haven't heard and we haven't known and we haven't learned. That's not the problem. But the problem tonight is that we don't do many times what we know to do. So I believe sometimes, in fact, even that the Christian life is so simple, I believe sometimes that simplicity of the Christian life and the fact that it really is simple sometimes becomes a stumbling block to us. Sometimes, in other words, the fact that the Christian life is so simple, we think we know it all. Because it is so simple, we know the things to do, we know what the Bible says, and we've heard the principles taught throughout the Word of God, that sometimes it becomes a second knowledge to us into a place to where we think, well, we know all that, we've heard it, but it doesn't mean you're doing it. I want you to look with me quickly, hold your place here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. This verse came to mind as I was thinking about this earlier. Look with me at verse number 3. Chapter 11, verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. From the simplicity that is in Christ. Other words, the Christian life and the things, and you and I who are in Christ, the things of Christ sometimes become so simple to us that our minds become corrupted. It's so simple that we stumble over it. It's so simple that we forget to do what we know to do. It's easy to understand. The Christian life isn't hard. God said, do this, don't do that. He says, put off, and he names all these things, anger, malice, all these things, and then he says, put on. There are some things we ought to put off. There are some things we ought to put on. I want you to look at me another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Notice the Bible says here, for our rejoicing in is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, that's lifestyle, in the world and more abundantly to youward. Just a simple Christian life he's bragging about living. Just simple. You know, so many times we think that we've got to achieve something so wonderful and so great, and I love people that reach for the stars. I'll promise you, I'm one of those kind of people. I think like you think, we're on the same wavelength, and I'm for all those things. I believe in being all you can be for God. But we got to get this right first. The simple Christian life. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. But everything's impossible until we get the first things right. Until we get those first principles right. Well, we've heard it all before. Tell us something new. Listen, the secret to the Christian life is not some great new revolution. It's not some grand thing you haven't heard. It's obeying the simple rules and simple instructions that you and I already know. Here in Paul's first letter, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 3, his first letter to the church at Corinth. In this passage, we read at the end of the letter, right here in verse number, 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. And we find that here, as Paul closes the letters, he leaves them with some instruction. He leaves them with some wonderful exhortation. Some people have said this one verse is a mini sermon on the Christian life. If you couldn't have anything else, this one verse will help you do and be what you're supposed to be. And as Paul closes the letter here, he leaves them with some instruction to keep them and to help them as they continue on their way until he sees them again. And while these are somewhat mundane things, I believe these are very necessary things, and I believe that we would do well to acknowledge these things that Paul tells us about tonight and heed them to ourselves. As Christians and as a church, I learned a long time ago that it's not the deep things of God. It's not the deep theological things, and thank God for the deep theological things. I like it when the Lord reveals those things to me. Listen, and I like studying the Bible that way. You need to come to church on Sunday or Wednesday night, right? We try to get sometimes into some of those deep things, and when we get done with Ecclesiastes, we're going to get even a whole lot deeper. But anyway, I like the deep things of God. Nothing wrong with that. But I learned years ago that what revolutionized my life was not those deep theological things of God. It was those simple truths. Just repetitive things that have been driven home in my heart time and time and time and time again. And finally, the light bulb clicked. It came on, and there's a better way than this. There's a better way than my way. So Paul gives us several things here in verse number 13. The first thing he says is, watch ye. It's a warning. We need to be watchful. If there's anybody that ought to be watchful regarding their Christian life and regarding their Christian walk, of course, that's Christians. If there's anybody that ought to be paying attention to what's going on in their life, it's children of God. I see many Christians today, they live such careless lives. I mean, it's amazing. It's like they take no thought. They're careless with their testimonies. They're careless with their character. They're careless with their speech and how they interact with others. You know what the Bible says? It says, let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. The word conversation there, I said again, is it's lifestyle. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. You want to know what that means, friends? It means that our life, that our lifestyle, and the way we live, and the way that we act out our life, and the things we say, ought to be a direct reflection on the fact I am His child. The fact that I'm a child of God, in other words, you and I ought to live our life in what becometh of a Christian. If you're a child of God, you ought to act like a child of God. Our walk, in other words, ought to match our talk. And if we're children of God, and we claim to be, then we ought to act like it. It's a direct reflection of the fact I'm His child. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you this? Our conversation, our lifestyle says a whole lot more about us than us saying the gospel with our words. We need to do both, but the one's not effective very much without the other. You can say all you want to, but your actions speak so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. God's people are to be alert. They're to be careful. They're to be cautious regarding their life. A careless Christian, you know what they're going to be? They're going to soon be a defeated Christian. Listen, even when you're trying to be sober and be vigilant and block the adversary, I want you to understand, even when we're doing all we can to try and keep our life going the direction God wants it to go, it's hard. It's tough. Much less when we live flippantly and live a careless Christian life. And I want you to understand that a person who lives that way soon, if they live as a careless Christian, they're going to soon be a defeated Christian. There's too many snares in our path. There are too many of Satan's devices and snares that's trying to corrupt our way. Too many subtle temptations that if we're not watching, if we're not paying attention, if we're not alert, we'll gradually, they're going to pull us into a trap. The Christian life, and especially the ministry, it's not a place for airheads. It's not a place for gullible people. It's not a place for people that's not paying attention. It's not a place for people that have a pie in the sky kind of attitude. Listen, I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but I'm keeping my eyes open. I'm being watchful. That's what we're supposed to be. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You've got to be watchful. That's why there ought to be boundaries. Listen, if you don't have some boundaries set in your life, you're going to be in a mess quick. There better be some boundaries, I'm talking about, set up in your life. That's why we have certain rules. That's why I have certain rules, certain things to do. Don't counsel with ladies behind closed door by myself. Just ain't going to do it, right? That's a boundary. There's many other boundaries. We have regulations for the bus ministry. Certain way we want to run that bus ministry. Make sure that we're doing the right thing there and trying to make sure that we're protected and all those things. We have regulations for Sunday school. You know what we're doing? We're trying to be watchful. What the Bible's told us to do. There are so many things today that can mess up a Christian. So many things. Listen, the devil's after, he knows he'll never steal your soul, but he's after your testimony. He's after your family. He's after your freedom. He's after it all. So many things that'll lead us off track. We need to be careful who we listen to. Many people have their own hidden agenda. Be careful who you go to for instruction and those kinds of things. Listen, you can go talk to people who claim they're Christians, and I've talked to many, and a lot of you have talked to many. They're Christians, and they end up being a Jehovah's Witness, end up being a Mormon or something else. Well, we believe just like you do. Can I tell you the most dangerous thing is the closest thing to the truth? Oh, just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just you get one thing wrong, I'm going to tell you this. If you get, and you're going to find this if you ever really start studying doctrine, you're going to find that if you get off on one thing that you believe, it's going to affect everything else you believe. Everything. You can't change what you believe on one doctrine without it changing something else that you believe. If I've got a compromise, well, they're showing it to me in Scripture. Yeah, they're showing you one verse out of context, one thing, and if you've got to change what you believe about everything else to believe this one thing, there should be some flags going up. Be careful about those things. We've got to be watchful. There's subtle deceptions all over the place. Be careful what you read. You have no business reading something that doesn't line up with this book. You got no business reading that mess. Why do you want to read it? There are a lot of Calvinists today. They're Calvinists, and they got caught up in Calvinism. I know some of them because they got indoctrinated reading the wrong books. Listen, you can trust the Word of God. You can take it for what it says. Be careful. Be listened to. We got to be careful where we go. I'm talking about, he said, be watchful. Do we even think about our testimony? Do we even think about our character when we're fixing to go meet somebody? Do we even think about what it looks like to others? May not be doing anything wrong. Can I tell you, you're guilty by association in these days? It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be said. We got to be careful where we go. Listen, there are certain places that a Christian has no place being. No place. They have no. Listen, a Christian has no reason and no ever to be in a bar, ever to be around a bar, ever to be. There's many other places. That's just one of them. But there's places that we ought not go. We ought not be. We have no business there. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Representatives of Christ. Listen, it's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of caring enough about your testimony. It's a matter about caring enough about your walk with the Lord that you guard your character and you guard your heart from anything that would become a stumbling block. Oh, he says to abstain from all appearances of evil. Well, preacher, you can't give me scripture and verse. This is wrong. Yeah, I can. Abstain from all appearances of evil. That covers a lot. Be careful with who you're hanging out with. Be careful what you look at. In this digital age, man, I tell you what, just a click of a button, you can be looking at some filthy stuff. Just a click of a button, you better guard yourself, you better guard your children, you better guard your home, you better be watchful about what's taking place, somebody better be paying attention, guard your character, guard your heart, have some accountability. Make sure that you're held accountable by somebody. Guard your testimony with tenacity. Guard it at all costs. No husband ought to have a computer his wife doesn't have the password. No child ought to have the phone that their parent don't have the password. Amen. You can amen or not, I'm going to preach it. Hey, listen, we've gotten so open-minded, our brains have fallen out. God help us. We got to guard our heart. We got to guard our home. There's an enemy who's seeking to destroy. Never forget, he's alive. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want to say this. Don't let the devil use you as a pawn in his little sick game. Christians are some of the greatest weapons. I'm telling you, they're some of the greatest weapons that old Satan has against the church. Christians. Church members. Some of the greatest weapons. Most people don't even know that Satan's using them. They're not even they're oblivious to it. They're just mad, so they just want to get back at somebody. So they're going to do their thing, and they're not even understanding that it's just Satan using them to do his thing. Don't let him get a little toehold. Be watchful. I got to move on. Look what he says also. He says, watch this. Stand fast in the faith. Be faithful. This one verse right here, if we could ever get this right, we would have come a long way in our Christian life. People that have been saved for years and years and years, been in church for years and years and years, they hadn't gotten the first one right, and they certainly hadn't got the second one right. Be faithful. It's an exhortation here. It tells us to be faithful as Christians. Be faithful in our profession. Do you want me to tell you one of the biggest things that's missing in our Christianity today? Can I tell you one of the biggest things that's missing in fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches today? One of the biggest things that's missing, no doubt about it, it's faithfulness. Faithfulness to so many things. Faithfulness in attendance, faithfulness to tithe, faithfulness of allegiance, of duties, and all those kinds of things. Being faithful. Can I say to you tonight, the world is looking for inconsistencies in your character. All they need is one. They're looking for inconsistencies in what you say and who you say you are, and they're finding it, sadly, in a whole lot of people. Be faithful. It ought to matter to you that we're having church. It ought to bother you if we're having church and you can't be there. I remember several years ago when I got laid up with the sciatic thing and all that, and my wife would tell you, she was on the door, and I lay there and wept like a baby because I wanted to be at church. That ought to bother us. Listen, friend, we miss church for anything and everything coming down the pike. We got a kid, you know, she's got a cold, so I got to take the whole family to blow her nose. Well, preacher, we don't get to do much, and you got six other days. Pick one of those. We don't get to do much with the family, and pick another day. But we just compromise the house of God and attendance. God said, be faithful. A compromise for anything. Well, we just flippantly, no big deal. We just miss the service. Go over there. The world is looking for inconsistencies in our character. God's looking for faithfulness. What we do shouldn't be based on what the world says is acceptable. I don't care what Joe Blow down the road's doing. I care what God's Word says. When are we going to get back to Bible Christianity instead of our Western civilization of Christianity? What we do ought not be based on other people or based on the world, but we base our life and our actions on the Word of God. And regardless of how much pressure that those in this world put on us, we're going to stand. We're going to remain faithful to the Lord. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, the Bible still says, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Can I say this to you tonight? I am so glad that God's faithfulness isn't like ours. Praise God, I'm glad that He's faithful when He says He's going to be faithful. You and I, we're hit or miss. We're hit or miss. We feel like come, we come. We feel like doing it, we'll do it. Praise God, it doesn't matter what's going on. He's going to be faithful. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thank God, I'm glad He's faithful to keep His word. You and I would be in a devil's hell tonight. His faithfulness isn't like our unfaithfulness. Whatever it is that God, listen, one of the greatest talents you could ever exhibit, One of the greatest things that you could ever have in your life is faithfulness. Whatever it is that God's allowed you to do, you ought to be faithful. Can I tell you, if you could just get that one thing down, that one character, by the way, that one character point down, faithfulness. Listen, it'll make you a whole lot more marketable. It'll make you a whole lot more usable. It'll make you a whole lot more likable. Just faithfulness. There are so many people that have made it to the top. I don't care what you talk about. You get them talk about business or any of those kinds of things. Most of them, a lot of them have much talent. A lot of them didn't have much skills, didn't have much education. But they had one thing right. They were faithful. You'd be amazed how far that'd take you just learning faithfulness. To be faithful. Whatever it is, whatever opportunity the Lord's given you, be faithful with that opportunity. You teach a class? Be faithful to that class. You do a devotion, man, be faithful. Study and come, do the devotion. You run the bus, be faithful. Be consistent. Go out and do the work that God's called you to do. You work back in King's Kids, be faithful to King's Kids. You can't miss every other week. You say, well, I'm going to do this and I agree to do this, then be faithful and do it. Maybe somebody's just a faithful church member. Be faithful in that until God gives you something else to do. Until we're faithful in the little things, He's not going to make us faithful over many things. One of the greatest resources you can possess is faithfulness. Somebody says to me, I speak to them about a certain thing. Yeah, preach, I can do it. I'm assuming they're going to do it. I take it serious. I expect them to take it serious. Yeah, I can do it. Not I can do it every other week. I can do it. I can take care of that. Be faithful. Notice what else he says. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. We need some people that's willing to stand for what they believe. Stand for this book right here. It is amazing to me. It is absolutely amazing to me. I told you this a year or so ago, and you're starting to see it already. But I told you that we're fixing to find out what people really believe. We're fixing to find out who really believes what they say they believe, right? And what you're seeing all around here, it's not just here, it's around everywhere, is people going to places, going to what would be churches, doing things, crossing the line, jumping over to the other side that used to believe what we supposedly believe. But they're crossing over. It doesn't matter that what this church believes or what they stand for or what they believe about end times, what they believe about the Word of God, what they believe about standards, we're going to go over here. You know what? They never believed that anyway. Stand fast in the faith. We need some people that's willing to be faithful in what they profess to believe, not compromise or recant when other people oppose them, when some other opportunity arises. I've learned it. There's a whole lot of people. Know what they are? They're opportunists. As soon as the opportunity presents itself, they'll be faithful to that thing or to that church or to that place or to that denomination, if you want to call it that. I'm faithful to Christ, not a denomination, first of all. But other than that, we'll be faithful to this set of beliefs until something better comes along, then we're just going over here. No, he says, stand fast in the faith. We need some people that will stand fast in the faith, and they'll say, as David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing, I can give praise. Our heart ought to be fixed on the Lord. Our heart ought to be fixed on what we believe. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. We believe it because the Bible says it. Now, if you're standing on some false doctrine just because it's something that you believe in of yourself, let it go. But if we're talking about the Word of God, it's not open for debate. No matter our surroundings, no matter our circumstances, we ought to always sing and give praises faithfully to the Lord. Notice the third thing quickly. Be manful. He says, quit you like men. Now these words, quit you like men, they're a translation of a Greek word, and that Greek word has two main thoughts. The first thought I want you to notice it has is of acting like men, of being mature and those kinds of things. It's thought of as maturity, one who is mature in their actions. The Corinthians here, very clearly, and of course all through the book, they're acting childish and foolish in their behavior in the church, and Paul's telling them to stop acting like children but grow up and be some mature adults. Well, I tell you what, in our churches today, they're filled with babies who should have been grown up a long time ago. Many of them manifest themselves when something doesn't go their way. Many of them manifest themselves when a business meeting comes, and many of them manifest themselves when something else comes along that they can be take light and get the spotlight on themselves. I'm telling you, we have a generation of people in our churches that are babies. Should have been grown up 20, 30 years ago. Know better than how they act. Know better than the things they do. And they're spiritually immature. You wouldn't believe the childish, immature, carnal behavior that goes on in many churches. The spoiled brat demeanor has no place in the work of God. One of the things it means is it means maturity. Be mature. Another thing is have courage. Not only acting like men, but it means being like men. Quit you like men. Acting like somebody with courage. Can I say to you tonight, we don't need any cream puffs in Christianity. Listen, any old dead fish can float downstream. But it takes somebody with some backbone that'll stand up and say, here I am, I will not deviate. Can I say something to you, young people? Hey, girls, look up here. Can I say something to you? The one that you think looks tough and is tough and cool in school and stuff like that because they go through, throw the curse words, or they go through, act like everybody else, that's not the tough one. I'll tell you who the tough one is. Watch this. It's the one that takes that King James Bible right there and they tuck it under their arm and they walk down the hallway and they don't care what anybody says about them. That's the one that you need to be looking at. That's the one that has some courage. That's the one that has some character. That's the one you need to look to. Not the one that's just trying to show out and act like everybody else. Quit you like men. The one who says, I'm not going to that party. I'm not doing that thing. I'm not putting that in my body. I'm not saying that. I'm not smoking that. I'm not drinking that. Quit you like men. What the Lord says to us as Christians. Have some courage. Stand up for what you believe in. Somebody who has the courage to live for God. Notice the final thing. Be powerful. Notice what he says again, verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Well, in our day, we have a big emphasis on physical fitness, don't we? I'm not against it, I'm for it. I've thought about joining a gym. 2 seconds later, it passed. I got over it, I laid down a few minutes, and I was fine. I'm not against, hey, I'm for physical. Man, we got a society, I mean, God, kid you not, I walked out of my office in between services. I was looking at this, and I walked out of my office, and a guy, it's raining outside. A guy comes running up, running down the road. I thought he was running from something. He's just running. He stopped. And he, in fact, that hole that's dug out there in the front, he reached down, he gets water out of it, and he throwed it in his face. I thought, man, I tell you what, I mean, good night. It's pouring the rain, you know. But we're all about, he tells us to be strong. We're all about, we got the muscle juice and energy bars, vitamin supplements to help build muscle and all these things. I told you before I was going to change my verse to 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. With all this interest in physical fitness, would to God there'd be some people that were that passionate, that interested in their spiritual fitness. Raining, we can't come to church, but we can go running in the rain. Got this going on, can't make it, preacher. Would to God we'd be as concerned about our physical appearance and our physical fitness. Listen to me, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God's looking at your heart. You can get all prettied up and dolled up for man, but the one who really matters, he sees what's on the inside. We'd be a whole lot better if we'd get interested in spiritual things. It's no accident that marriages are falling apart at an alarming rate. Churches are closing their doors, thousands and thousands years. Wouldn't believe the people I talk to many times. There's church buildings sitting everywhere, even in our great country, and they're closing up, and Christians turning to drugs or alcohol, or at least getting out of church. And when a trial comes, or when something devastating in their life comes or happens, most people are spiritually anemic. They have no power. They have no way to get a hold of God. They have no strength. They have nothing to stand in their Christian life and in their Christian walk, and they end up by the wayside. He said, be strong. You know why? Because they have no prayer time. They have no Bible time. They have no alone time with God. They're spiritually weak. They're spiritually weaklings. It doesn't take anything to devastate their life. It doesn't take anything to knock them off their rocker, so to speak. But honey, let me tell you something. There is a power and there is a strength that you can't get anywhere else but with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a power there and there's a strength that you can find, oh, in that secret place. Thank God, I'm glad you and I can run boldly to His throne as believer priests. I'm glad I can enter into that tabernacle, into that holy place, and into the holiest place, and I can set my affection on the face of God, and I can get a hold of Him, and He'll give me the power and He'll give me the strength. You know what the Bible says? Oh, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. You and I can get that power. It only comes from the Lord. It only comes from spending time with Him. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You want to be powerful? You want to be strong? You want to be able to face whatever comes your way? You better learn how to get along with God. You listen, there are some things, I know we live in a fast food society, there are some things there's not a shortcut for. We was playing something on the computer the other day, couldn't figure for the life of how to get a shortcut on the desktop for it. There's some things there's just not a shortcut for. There's no shortcut for power. There's no shortcut for the power of God. You can only get it on your face. You can only get it on your knees. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we humble ourselves before a holy God, admit we can't. Oh, but we know God can. That's when you'll feel the power. That's when the Lord will help you. His strength. He said, be strong. Which one of these things tonight do you need to be reminded of? The longer I live and the more I see people who've served the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And yet after that long time, they know everything. They know all the simple principles of simplicity. Then to watch them after 30 years and 40 years fall and fail, mess up in one or more of these areas or all of them, the more I'm convinced there's never going to be a time when we don't need to be reminded of these truths. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. There's never going to be a time when we're safe from falling or failing. Paul said, take heed lest you fall. Soon as you think you, one of the things I try to tell Tyler when he started riding dirt bikes, I've rode him my whole life, and I said, look, I'm going to tell you something. The moment you think you've got this thing figured out, it's going to hurt you. Same with a gun, same with anything. When you quit respecting it, when we quit respecting, we don't worship Him, but you better respect your enemy. When we quit respecting Him, when we quit respecting the sinful flesh and nature that we have, we're fixing a mess up. There's never a time, never going to be a time when we're safe from falling or failing. There'll never be a time where we've arrived and we no longer need to be worried or be watchful until the time we get our glorified body. Thank God, I can't wait. That old sinful flesh will be gone. That sinful nature will be gone. But until then, we better take heed unto ourselves. Let's stand for prayer tonight. What did you need to be reminded of to be watchful? Are you living a loose life? Maybe dabbling in some things. Your character's not what it ought to be. What about faithfulness? Are you faithful? You see, another thing I've learned, my faithfulness, my idea of faithfulness and God's idea of faithfulness, two different things. What about being manful? Having some courage about you, having some maturity about you. Some people, I just want to tell them, grow up. Whatever it is tonight, come and do business with the Lord. Maybe you need that power. you need to be powerful. You know that you're a spiritual weakling when it comes to having God's power on your life. I'm going to promise you this. Listen to me tonight. You can have it. You can have it, but you can't have it easy. You got to get on your face and beg God for it, and He'll give you what you need. Oh, the Bible, listen, the person who bows before the Lord can stand before anyone. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. While we sing tonight, why don't you come?